Today is the second week of the series that we're calling Wind and Fire. And we started it last week, which would make this the second week, which I already said. So I'm already repeating myself. So this is a good start, right? Okay. So throughout the Bible, the primary action of the Spirit is to create life, to energize, and to transform people. So the Spirit is a powerful force that's often represented in the Scriptures by the natural elements of wind and fire. So why wind and fire? So let's think about this. So wind and fire are two of the most powerful forces on earth. These forces, they have the power to reshape and transform our world, just like the Holy Spirit can reshape and transform us. So sometimes the wind is calm. Sometimes it's powerful. Sometimes fire is controlled and manageable. Sometimes it's just a little flick on a candle. Sometimes it's wild and out of control. So the image of wind and fire is a reminder of the incredible power of God's Spirit. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to live boldly and to do amazing things. So in this series, we're going to investigate how the Spirit of God is working in the world through believers to empower, encourage, and equip. Say that with me. I want to make sure you guys are awake. Empower, encourage, and equip. Good job. You guys are good. So last week, Matt started by telling us about the Hebrew word. Does anyone remember what it was? Sounds gross. The Hebrew word ruach. And it does sound gross. It sounds German, doesn't it? But it's Hebrew. Ruach. So does anyone remember what it means? Wind, breath, energy. Good job. You guys need stickers. Christy, do we have stickers? No. We need stickers. Okay. She'd be my sticker person. Okay, so yeah, it's wind, breath, energy. So wind is the invisible force that makes clouds move. It makes trees sway. And breath is that vitality and energy inside of our bodies that we take inside of our bodies that we get from breathing. So everybody take a deep breath. It kind of makes you feel alive, doesn't it? It's amazing how breathing keeps you alive, right? So it kind of makes sense that the Spirit of God would be compared to or be called wind or breath. So the Ruach of God, the Spirit of God, it gives us that vitality and that energy. So just as wind and breath are invisible, God's Spirit is invisible. So the wind is both gentle and powerful. Likewise, God's Spirit is both gentle and powerful. Breath keeps us alive, and God, his Ruach, it sustains all life. So does anyone else have kind of a love-hate relationship with wind? Anyone else? Is it just me? Yeah. Okay, so I love the feeling of a cool breeze, like on a hot day. It's like really refreshing, right? I mean, I'm a huge baby when it comes to being hot. I've lived here my whole life, and I hate summers here, y'all. I will complain. It's going to happen. Like, it's stuffy, it's humid. And there are times when I feel like I'm about to just keel over. And I'll tell people that too. And people love being around me in the summer. I'm wonderful. I'm a charming person. But in the Arkansas summer sun, sometimes you just feel like you're just going to like fall over. And, you know, like those peach festival days. Why is that the hottest weekend of the year every year? But you're going through and there's crowds and there's people everywhere. And it's just stuffy. And you're just, everything feels stale. And then there's this cool breeze that comes along, and it just restores you back to life. It just refreshes that energy in you. But when that cool breeze turns into a tornado or straight line winds, it kind of has the opposite effect on me. I go from feeling alive to feeling like I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. So when I was prepping for this message, I checked my time hop. Does anyone else do time hop? Am I the only person that does time hop? I have like a 600-day streak or 900. I don't know. I like time hop because it shows me pictures of my kids when they were sweet. So I checked my time hop the other day when I was prepping for this message, and I realized that it had been the 4-year anniversary of when I fully came to appreciate the power of wind. So it was a beautiful day in May, and we had just moved into our house in Clarksville about 4 months before. And we had gone, my parents were in town because they had come to go to Liam, my oldest son's pre-K graduation, because those are super fun. My second had his pre-K graduation yesterday. And we were in the backyard just enjoying the cool breeze, playing on the swings and sitting out there on the porch. And it was a nice day. But then the breeze started getting just a little bit stronger and the sun started getting kind of covered up with clouds. So we decided we'd go inside. It looked like it was about to start raining. And we had just gotten inside, barely sat down on the couch, and it started raining. Like, it wasn't just like a little summer shower. It was pouring. And then we looked outside just in time to see the rain turn sideways. And it looked like it was raining sideways. See, what happened was there was a large gust of straight line wind that came and it blew through our backyard. And this was the result. I have a picture for you guys. So that was the result. In about 3 seconds, we lost a huge pine tree, which caused us to also lose a storage shed. We lost about a quarter of our fence. We lost half of a dogwood tree. We lost the top half of a cedar tree. You can still see the scar. No, this was 4 years ago. 4 years ago. Yeah, this was yesterday. Come to my house, clean up my yard. If anyone wants to come, and the stump is still there. So if anyone wants to come and help with that, yeah. But we lost like half our backyard. The entire backyard was transformed like that. It happened so fast. God's ruach, or his spirit, sometimes it can come like a little gentle, refreshing breeze, just soothing your soul. But there's other times that the work of the Spirit, it comes in such a powerful way that it can reshape the world around us. It can reshape inside of us. See, to us, a powerful reshaping wind coming and blowing into our lives, it may feel like the introduction of chaos. Because those pictures, they looked pretty chaotic, didn't they? But that's when we have to trust God to know what things in our lives need to be uprooted and what things in our lives just need to be refreshed. The word ruach, it's used in the Hebrew scriptures to talk about God's personal presence. And the Bible begins with this image of darkness and chaos, like a storm. But see, God's ruach was also present. So in Genesis 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." See, the Spirit was hovering above this chaos, this darkness. And it was ready to bring about life, order, and beauty. Only the Spirit of God can bring about life, order, and beauty out of dark chaos. And if you skip ahead in Genesis, on the sixth day of creation, the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed, or ruach, into his nostrils, the breath of life. And the man became a living being. See, it's the breath of God that gives us life in the most basic form. Without the breath of God, we are just a body. See, God's breath, it created beauty, order, and life out of chaotic darkness. God's ruach created a really good world. I'm going to go off notes a little bit. Does anybody like the Chronicles of Narnia? Read the books? Yeah. I knew I liked you. I love those books. And not long ago, I just reread the first book in the series, The Magician's Nephew. Anyone know that one? Yeah. It's awesome. Like, if you like creative imagination and, like, looking at things a little bit differently, The Chronicles of Narnia is kind of like the biblical story in a very creative British children's version. And it's very cool. So in that story, in The Magician's Nephew, it has the story of how Narnia, the world that they were in, was created. And it's got some really cool imagery. And it talks about how the lion, Aslan, which is the god figure in the stories, breathed on them and they came to life. It's very cool. So read that if you like to read. If you don't like to read, then watch the movies, I guess. There's not a movie of that one, though. There should be. It's so cool. So God's Ruach created a really good world. But humans, they gave in to their selfish desires and ambition. And by doing that, they unleashed a new kind of chaos into God's perfect design through their injustice to one another. So there was chaos. God breathed life, beauty, and order into it. And then humans messed it up. That's kind of how it goes, huh? So there's a new kind of chaos that's introduced into this beautiful creation that God made. This new kind of disorder, it came from within humans. So the only way to restore order and justice to the world is to change, to fix that dark chaos that's inside of humans. It has to be brought to order. So how's that going to happen? So last week, Matt read from the prophet Ezekiel, and he wrote down the promise that God gave him that he would give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. It says that I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. So how will God do this? How's he going to do this? We've got the promise, but if you guys are like me, I like to know how to get something done. Like, don't just tell me something. Like, I want to know how to do it. I want to do it right. So how's God going to restore humanity to its original design? How will he calm the dark chaos of the human heart and fill us with his empowering spirit? So flip to Isaiah 11. This is another prophecy. And in this prophecy, it foretells the coming of a man that will initiate God's new creation. But this time, it's going to be from the inside out. So Isaiah 11, 1 through 3, it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. There's an entire message series worth of meaning packed into this little short passage, and we may get into that sometime in the future. But for today, it's important that we know that there would be a man that would come from the family of Jesse. Now, who's Jesse? It's King David's daddy. Right? It's David's daddy. So it's going to be like a brother. It's going to be like a new David that's going to come that would have the Spirit of God resting on him. And that same energizing presence of God that hovered above the dark chaos before creation would empower this man to bring beauty, justice, and order back into the world. So in all the gospel narratives, the story of Jesus' baptism are all pretty much the same. So I went through because I was trying to pick which one to use. And I went through, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and they all are almost word for word. And there's a lot of differences between some of the stories in the Gospels, but this one is very similar, very similar. So let's look at the one in Luke 3. Luke 3, starting with verse 21, it says, "When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. As he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, who I love. With you I am well pleased.'" So this story is saying that God's Spirit is empowering Jesus to begin the new creation. So I came across something not long ago that recently kind of changed the way that I think about this story. So I was reading a commentary. You guys just sit around reading commentaries? No? Nerd. So I was reading a commentary, and it mentioned how this story is kind of a parallel to the creation story in Genesis 1. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So see, in both, the Spirit of God is hovering over the surface of the water. Water is kind of chaotic, right? It's unpredictable. It's very transformative. That's a whole other message. I think we actually did a message like that last year sometime about what. Anyways, he doesn't remember. No one else remembers, right? You all pay attention though, right? All right. So the Spirit of God is hovering over the water in order to initiate a new work of creation. See, in Genesis, the Spirit, or the Ruach of God, it breathes life into the world. It creates beauty and order where there was once darkness and chaos. In the story of the baptism of Jesus, the Spirit of God descends on Jesus, resting on him. And this was when he was anointed to bring the good news. Does that sound familiar? A little callback? If you were here at all last month. I wasn't here last night. That should sound kind of familiar. He was anointed to bring the good news. And that was his anointing. See, this is why we still honor and practice the sacrament of baptism today. It symbolizes the beginning of a new creation within us. We surrender and we allow the Spirit of God to reshape the dark chaos of our lives into something new and beautiful. It shows that we trust God to know what in our lives needs to be uprooted by his powerful Ruach and what needs to be refreshed by his life-giving breeze. See, it's when we become part of God's new creation, a.k.a. his kingdom. So baptism holds a lot of meaning. We do it after Jesus' example. And see, after his baptism, we see the Spirit moving through the life of Jesus to create beauty and justice and order out of the chaotic darkness of a fallen humanity. And he does this by healing and forgiving and simply by loving. See, he's creating life where there was once death. And that's only the beginning. See, Israel's religious leaders, they didn't like that. They were opposed to this man who claimed to be the Messiah. They claimed it was blasphemous that he says he could forgive sins. He didn't associate with the right people. And eventually they killed him for it. But see, even in Jesus' death, the Spirit of God was at work. See, it was God's energizing Ruach that brought Jesus back to life, that restored life in him. And this was the beginning of God's new creation. So flip to John 20, verse 19. So last month we talked about the good news of Jesus and how after his death and resurrection, he had commissioned all believers to continue to carry the message of his good news. It wasn't an accident that we followed up a series about the good news with a series about the Holy Spirit. See, we followed up with this series because Jesus did not simply come and just hand out a script for us to read. He didn't just give us the words to recite to someone else. See, he came to make a way for us to be personally connected to God. And by being connected to God's Spirit, we are empowered, encouraged, and equipped to continue the mission of sharing the good news. So last week we focused on how God's Spirit empowers and energizes us to participate in building his kingdom. And this week I want you to leave here with the understanding of how God's presence encourages us to continue in his good work. So in John 20, the disciples and the followers of Jesus, they were in a dark, chaotic frame of mind. They had just watched the man who they believed had come to save the world, to change the world, be brutally crucified. And now his body was missing. They were confused, they were hurt, and they were scared. They thought that maybe they were coming for them next. So they gathered together to mourn and support one another and hide behind a locked door. So John 20, starting with verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. All right, kids, are you listening? Spoilers. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." That's our commission right there. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So let's pause here for just a second. You remember the verse that we read in Genesis 2:7 when God breathed into the nostrils and Adam came to life? See, when Jesus breathed on his disciples, they came alive in a new way. Jesus' Ruach empowered them and encouraged them to go out into the world that they had been hiding in fear from to continue his mission of spreading the good news. This was a major turnaround. Major turnaround. We're going to get into that a little bit more next week, too. But see, the risen Savior, he appeared to them in their time of fear and confusion, in their time of dark chaos. And he offered them peace. He said twice, "Peace be with you." He spoke and calmed their storm. And he commissioned them to do his work, to continue his work. And then he empowered them to do it by sharing the Spirit of God with them. Jesus breathed on them and the Spirit of God rested on them. It created beauty and justice and order within them. See, now they were empowered and encouraged to go out and share it with others. But see, it did something else too. It unified them as a community of believers. They all shared in the purpose and the power to accomplish the mission. But see, they weren't meant to do it on their own. It's not easy to carry the responsibility of sharing the good news with the world. It can be kind of heavy. And it's easy to get frustrated and discouraged. It's really easy to get distracted and lose focus. And it seems at times that people think that pastors or people in ministry leadership have some sort of unlimited supply of spiritual energy and encouragement. You're wrong. See, people think that we can constantly just pour out love and support for one another and never feel empty ourselves. But that is 100% not true. See, when I was finishing up this message, Matt came in my office to tell me something, and I found myself unloading a whole dump truck worth of frustration and discouragement that I was feeling about various things. And while he was listening, he got this dumb little smirk on his face. And he looked over my shoulder, and he saw the title of this message up on my computer screen. Y'all know what the title of this message is? Encouraged. Encouraged. And he simply asked, how does the Holy Spirit encourage you when you're feeling all of these things? So once I got over feeling irritated and embarrassed that he pointed out something that should have been so obvious to me, I realized that the Holy Spirit encourages me through other people. See, when people listen to me, when people pray with me, pray for me, just when people let me know that they care, it fills me. It encourages me. And I know I'm not alone in that. So when I say that you guys are my family, I mean it. Sometimes it's family that can be the source of your irritation and frustration. But see, it's also family that you often turn to when you need encouragement, when you need to be uplifted. So as the Holy Spirit encourages us as individuals, we are empowered to encourage others. So I wanted to end service today by taking communion. So communion, like baptism, it's symbolic sacrament that we still use to honor and practice our faith. Baptism symbolizes your individual commitment to becoming part of God's kingdom. But see, communion, it has a slightly different purpose. It symbolizes the unity of God's family that was made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus' body and blood. See, when we take communion together, we are remembering what Jesus did for us. And when we take it together, we are committing to love, support, and encourage one another. It can be hard to carry the mantle of the good news. But see, it's not just resting on the shoulders of pastors or ministry leaders. It was commissioned to all believers. And sometimes it's hard to be able to step up and know what to say, to know what to do. And this wasn't in my notes, but there's a scripture I want to read to you guys. It's Luke 12:11. It says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. See, when the Spirit encourages us, when it empowers us, sometimes the Spirit is waiting for you to step into those places where you can share the good news, and then you'll know what to do. That's why we come together on Sundays. You can be a Christian and not go to church. You can close the doors today and we'd be fine. As long as you have a personal relationship with God, then you can still grow. You can still disciple yourself. We don't really need a building. We figured that out during COVID, right? But we want it. Why do we want it? Fellowship. You're right this time, Roy. Good job. It's because it's where we come together. It's where we sit together as family. It's where we become one. We encourage one another. We uplift one another. We empower one another. As the Spirit empowers and encourages us, we share that with one another. That's why we come together on Sundays. Not just to see each other's faces, but to love one another. To be a family. A family that was created through brokenness. A family that was created through suffering, sacrifice, because of the immense love. So, Father, I just pray and thank you today and worship you. God, we thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you for being willing to suffer, for being willing to become broken so that we can become whole. God, I just thank you for your body that you willingly gave so that we together could become a new kind of body, the body of Christ throughout the world, throughout time, that we become your church, that we carry your message, we carry your banner together as a family. God, thank you for creating in us beauty and justice and order. God, I just pray that as we take this bread today, that it would be a reminder that brokenness is not the end. That God, your body was broken so that our spirit could be made whole. Let's take the bread together. And Father, this juice, it represents the blood that was spilled. God, blood is it's a symbol. It's what brings people together. We share blood because we're family. And God, you gave us your blood so that we could be unified together as your family. And Father, we just thank you for that sacrifice. We thank you for allowing us the opportunity to just be together as a family, to be unified despite differences, to come together, because if we have you in common, that is enough. So God, as we take this juice together today, let it be a reminder of how we are joined together. God, that it is not a light thing that we do. It is not shallow meaning when we drink a little juice. God, because what it represents changed the world from the inside out. Let's take the juice. We're going to do another song today. Just like the invisible wind is witnessed and believed when we see trees sway, or we feel its refreshing coolness surrounding us, in the same way, the invisible Spirit of God, it is witnessed and it is believed when we see people encouraging and caring for one another. And we feel God's love in the relationships surrounding us. Look around you. Just take a minute and kind of look around you. It's okay, I'm giving you permission to stare at one another. See, the evidence of God's Spirit is all around us in this room. Because the evidence of God's Spirit is everywhere that it rests. And as God's Spirit rests on us as individuals, as it joins us together as a family, we can see, we can experience the evidence of God's love through the actions through the relationships, through the people that are sitting in this room today. I want you guys to use this time to just show God's love to one another, to reflect God's love to himself. Worship. Pray with someone. We're family. If you feel it on your heart that God's telling you to go and sit next to somebody and pray with them, do it. I don't know about you guys, but when I feel that little tug, the longer I wait to do it, the more nauseous I get. I literally get sick. Because when God gives you that nudge, when the Spirit gives you that little nudge that, hey, your brother or your sister, they just need you right now. You don't have to have the words to say, because what we just read in Luke, the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Take the step. Sometimes there are no words to say. Sometimes it's just an arm around someone's shoulder. Sometimes it's just sitting next to someone and just making sure that they don't feel alone. Allow, during the song, allow God's Ruach to stir something inside of you, to move inside of you, to reshape your life. Trust him to know what in your life needs to be uprooted. Trust him to know what just needs to be refreshed and encouraged. So take this time to just love God and love each other. Worship him. You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, you can come up front if you want someone to pray with you. But just take this time to shut out all of the noise and just listen and feel and experience the evidence of God's Spirit around you.